This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am so happy to be with you. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Oh, my goodness sakes, I'm hoping you're going to give me a call today. We want these phone lines popping. We want to keep them popping, and we want to keep them popping with your calls. Let me give you that toll-free number available for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's easy. It's breezy. We want you to call right away. We don't want you to delay. Matthew Gubensky wants to hear from you. And we do too. All of that being said, your questions and comments are always appreciated. Do want to let you know that we're available for you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. Just use that chat feature. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration in. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. I believe it's Michael McCall doing all that for us today. And we'll address it. Now, if you're a first-timer, either way, first-time caller, first-time submitter, I want to know, because then I ring my little welcome bell for you. It was so cute the other day. Sioux City, Iowa gave me a call because Jack and I are going to be there. I believe it's September the 17th. Yes, and so I want you to mark your calendar. If you're listening to me right now through Sioux City Radio. So, I was being interviewed about that event that's coming up, and it was so cute. It was Joanne Fox was interviewing me. And so she had a little bell there, and she rang it for me. Oh, golly gee. It was so sweet of her to do that. And it was fun. And I love ringing it. And I love ringing it when you are a first-time caller or first-time submitter. And I do want to know all about that. That being said, too, you can also contact us if you're outside of North America. And that number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. So please do use that opportunity. Yes, please do use it. We want to talk with you today about whatever it is that you want to talk about. There's so much that's going on at Women of Grace. I got to tell you, we are very busy people. There is no question about it. Why? Well, because you know what? God has called us to help women to come into a deeper understanding and appreciation of who they are in the eyes of God. What is their gift of authentic femininity? And how do they live it in a world that really is so anti-woman in so many ways? And I don't want to get into that topic because I could just spend the whole program talking about that. But all of that being said, you know, we really do strive to fulfill the mission that He has entrusted to us. And there's really, it's a twofold mission. Through our work, through Living His Life Abundantly, which is our mother corporation, under which Women of Grace is doing business as a DBA, our mission is to transform the world, but we want to bring the healing love of our Lord Jesus Christ through every manner of media, and that's what we do. So to that end, of course, we do television, we do radio, we do podcasts, we do events, we put out literature, we have studies for women, which is part of the Women of Grace effort as well. So there's all of that that goes on, right? But then specific to Women of Grace, you know, this is really geared to women. What do we want to do here? We want to transform the world one woman at a time through ladies coming to see and understand who they are. When we started this 20 years ago with the Women of Grace portion of Living His Life Abundantly, which actually began in 87 and was incorporated in 99. It's a lot of information for you to handle, but I'm just giving you the history. We knew that this work for women was very important because we were coming out of the effects of radical feminism. And a lot of ladies were like, had been molded and shaped by that ideology, which presents a very false notion of who woman is and what she's called to do. So there was that. But we could never have projected. I just knew it was really important. And I had some forward vision with regard to it. But I never could have imagined that we would be living in a moment like this, where the realities, the attacks, the efforts against who woman is in her essence would be so great, so much so that, we would seek to convince ourselves that maybe we are the wrong sex, as if you could change such a thing. You cannot. And gender is not immutable, because gender is tied to the sex. It's just basically another kind of a thing. I was reminded by somebody not too long ago that, in foreign languages, not English, but in foreign languages, there's the feminine, and then there's the masculine forms of words, right? So that's what gender refers to. What gender is it? Is it a feminine form or a masculine form? It's not, I can make it up and it can be my form. It isn't that kind of a thing. So this is a very, very important mission that we are about. And we've got events that help for us to achieve this, as well as studies. So I want you ladies to get out there and to check out our website, womenofgrace.com, for the studies that we have. We've got study programs that are just beautiful, that I like to say, they catechize you, they evangelize you, they spiritualize you. They feminize you according to the mind and the heart of God, right? We get these notions when we hear that word femininity. Maybe we think of, I don't know, we just think of, some sappy lady, or something like that. I don't know. But the connotation sometimes is very far from what it really is. If we want to look at the feminine ideal, we look to our Blessed Lady. Our Blessed Lady was strong. She was resilient. Our Blessed Lady was a leader. our Blessed Lady was dynamite in terms of her call and her mission. And so all that being said, women are called to the fullness of who they are in Christ Jesus. But the way in which that's approached, the way in which it's lived, the way in which the woman comes to the fullness of who she is by way of all of those various kinds of opportunities that a woman has, is very different from the masculine. And it's my contention that when either one of the gifts and talents, when either one of those metaphysical realities of who man is, who woman is, when that reality is not being lived in the world is out of balance. Because this is the way God created the world. It's the way he did it. We read about it in Genesis right at the very beginning, right? Let us make man in our image. In the divine image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Well, if God is the fulfillment of all that is good, true, and beautiful, all that is well-ordered, well-balanced, and we know that that's all the case because everything that God has done is that way. If we believe that and we say that man is created in his image and likeness according to the two sexes, male and female, if that is the case, if that's the way he images himself, he's telling us something about what is necessary to bring everything good, everything true, everything beautiful, everything that is well-balanced and right-ordered into the world at large. And when we start messing with that, we throw everything off. These things carry, metaphysical truths and realities, theological truths and realities beyond what we see. It's the way that all of it's meant to be. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. What do you think about all that? Let me know.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm thrilled to be with you today. Oh, my golly. It's just so wonderful to spend this time with you Monday through Friday. And I love hearing from you. I really do. I just gave you a whole lot of information there, a whole lot of talking going on prior to this break. I'd love to know what you think about it. Put that into a question for us or a comment. I love your comments. questions and give us a call here. I was just talking with Sue Brinkman. She is with me on Wednesdays. We do Wacky Wednesday. And, I was saying to her that, every question that an individual calls in and asks us is representative of an exponentially larger group of people. Now, social scientists have this broken out. EWTN does not subscribe to any ratings or anything, so we don't really quite know what our listening audience is. But we do have some evidence of how broad it is. So, at any given point in time, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening to us. And if you have a question, then either your question specific to the way in which it's phrased and the situation that you're talking about, or specific to, the kernel of it, the nut of it, what it's about, even though the details might be different, is pertinent to millions of people potentially, right? That's crazy stuff. So the thing of it is that if you ask that question, a large percentage of those people, maybe thousands and thousands of people, have the very same question you do, if not in descriptive form, at least in its topical essence, right? So you're calling in with your question or comment, you have the opportunity to affect the lives of so many people. This is the beauty and the wonder of Catholic radio. I think it's one of the reasons why I love it so much. I love Catholic radio. I love it because we can connect in real time, through these live shows. But also too, we are involved in something together. We are a collection of individuals gathered together, at a particular moment in time for a particular use that God has in mind, for a particular reason that can only be fulfilled by you and me and all of us together at this moment in time. That's the intentionality of God. That's why, if you're, and maybe this applies to some of you, you're just out there driving around and somehow you've landed on this radio station that is broadcasting this show. That's not by happenstance. That's by divine providence. God has a reason for allowing you to have the opportunity to flip through your station. And maybe because there's something in the broadcast that is important for you. I don't know. But I do know that our God is a God of intentionality. I do know that there is never a random act of God. If God is incapable of anything, which doesn't it sound like, we never limit God. No, but if he's incapable of, there's a couple of things. If he's incapable of being limited, that's true. But it's not contradictory to say God is incapable of performing a random act. It is God does not have the capacity not to love. He is incapable in those areas. He is incapable of those things are ours by way of our fallen condition. They're not pertinent to God. Our God is a God of intentionality. He's a God of deliberate intention. He is a God of supreme intelligence. One of his attributes is that he is omniscient. It means he knows all things. So he's all powerful. He can affect all things. He's omnipotent. So if he's omniscient and omnipotent, if he knows all things and can do all things, then this God is always about doing what it is that he does best, because he is love. He defines himself that way through the apostle John. God is love, and love is an act of total self-donation. So just a little bit of logical application it tells us, if this God is a God of self-donation, always giving himself in the fullness of who he is, which is love, then God is incapable of doing anything outside of that, which means then that everything that he does is a loving act. And if it's a loving act, then that takes random acts out of it. Because in his omniscience, he knows precisely the right action to take. And he's incapable of taking a wrong action, because he is total self-donation, giving all of himself, which is love, to each one of us. That is so beautiful, isn't it? It's so wonderful. So, you know, again, call us because, you know, it's not by happenstance that you're listening today. If the Holy Spirit's prompting you with a question or a comment, it's not by happenstance. Somebody needs to have it answered. It could be you, but it might be somebody else too. Or it might be many somebody else's. How about that? You know, so do give us a call. All of that to get you to call. Come on. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, you know? And that's what, you know, that's why I love Ephesians 1, you know, verse 4 so much. God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight, to be full of love. You know, you are the chosen son or daughter of the Most High God. He knew the moment in time when he would give you life. He's given you life now because there's something about you that this world absolutely needs, and vice versa. There's something about the world that you absolutely need. It's the way that he's going to purify you and make you holy like unto himself. Oh my gosh. I literally get giddy talking about the things of the Lord. I do. He fills me with joy as soon as I start talking about him. He's just so wonderful. And he loves you. He loves you so, so very much. So do give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, beautiful opportunities that we have together. And I do want to tell you, you know, about some of those things that are coming up. I shared with you a little bit earlier about the importance of getting out to our website and seeing what's going on. But our Benedicta Institute for Women begins on April 22nd. That is this coming Sunday, isn't it? And so there, this coming Monday. And there we are. We're going to be together for this beautiful week intensive that's going to be given to us, presented to us, taught to us by Dr. Donald Wallenfang, Who is Woman? The Journey from Eve to Mary is what we'll be discussing. And the women that are coming are in preparation for a certification in Catholic women's leadership that will come through the Benedicta Institute. It's probably too late at this point to sign up. Maybe not, though. Maybe not. We probably could take care of some final details for you quickly. But that being said, you know, if you feel that prompting, do give us a call. Don't ignore it. But we will have other intensives coming up in the future as well, obviously, because this is a you know, program of study and formation that helps for us to become those women leaders that God desires that we become. And so I want to draw your attention to that. And I want to ask you to please pray for us next week. As I say, Dr. Donald Wallenfang is presenting. I would ask you to keep him in your prayer. And as well as Bishop William Walterscheid, who is our spiritual advisor for Women of Grace and the Benedicta Institute for Women. He's going to be joining us for the entirety of our time together, too. And he's going to be presenting to us in the evenings. So if you would please keep these two wonderful men in your prayers, I would appreciate it. Me and my staff, too. This is a big moment for us. We're quite, you know, just praising God for the opportunity to gather together with all of these women who are coming for this moment. So do keep that in prayer. But I want to let you know that on May the 10th, I'm going to be at Ave Maria University for their Marian Eucharistic Conference. My Soul Proclaims the Greatness of the Lord is the theme. Raymond Arroyo is going to be there. You know Raymond. Mother Adela Galindo is going to be there. Along with myself, Kathleen Beckman will be there too. Father Raphael Capo and Father Joseph Mary Rogers. So it's going to be a great, great lineup of individuals, I think, who have lots to share about lots of things. And it's going to be especially terrific to talk about My Soul Proclaims the Greatness of the Lord, which, of course, you know, is our the beginning words of Our Lady's Magnificat. We're going to be exploring that. We're going to be exploring Our Lady in light of the Eucharist. So it's going to be lovely. It starts Friday, May 10th at 3 p.m. It closes Sunday, May 12th at 3 p.m. So it's a beautiful, beautiful time. All of the information is at our website. We'll get you from our website over there to Ave Maria to register. But in addition to that, you certainly can register at Ave Maria's website too. So please come. Come up to me if you've heard about it on radio. I'd love to know that. May 27th, we have a book study coming up in the School of the Holy Spirit. It is the book written by Father Jacques Philippe. This is because Pentecost is coming, right? And this will help us to be prepared for Pentecost, but also to really learn, right, in the school. How does the Holy Spirit teach us? What is he teaching us? And then how do we live out that teaching? That book study is going to help you find the answers to all of those questions. It's being led by Sue Brinkman. If you've ever been to one of Sue's book studies, I mean, she just does these for us throughout the year. I'll tell you, people love them, and they are wonderful. They are absolutely wonderful. So please do join us for that. And then June 27th, we have a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. These enrichment seminars are sponsored, obviously, by the Benedicta Institute. It's an outreach of the Benedicta Institute. We're going to be at Malvern, and we always have a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar that precedes the retreat, which begins on June 28th. So this is going to start the morning of June 27th. It's going to run through to about, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock, usually 3 o'clock, on the Friday, which is June the 28th, and then the retreat begins. I'm so excited. Chris McGregor is going to be our presenter for the Benedicta, and she'll also give us a talk too at the retreat. And I'm just so eager for her to come. I am a big fan of Discerning Hearts. I have the app on my phone. I reference it, use it. It's just lovely. I think that you should get it. Marvelous interviews that Chris conducts with marvelous people who have much to share with us and can help us to live that abundant life in Jesus Christ. What an exciting theme she's going to present to us. Get this: Women, Mystics, and the Divine Life Within. Women, Mystics, and the Divine Life Within. It's going to be thrilling. So please do sign up for that and join us afterwards, of course, for the full retreat. And again, just a really beautiful theme: Divine Mercy, Crucible of Divine Life. As I mentioned to you, Chris is going to be with us. Father Ken Geraci is going to be with us. Everybody loved Father Ken last year. Before the event was over, you ladies were, thronging me, really, saying, China, can you bring him back? Can you bring him back? So I asked him right then and there, and he said if his provincial agreed, he would come. His provincial did agree, and he is coming back. So it's going to be quite lovely. Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. And of course, I'll be presenting too. So it really encouraging you, get out there, join us. Oh, and our music this year is going to be Living Praise Worship Team. I'll tell you what, I have known Susan Potvin for numbers and numbers of years, and what beautiful, beautiful talents she has in so many ways. She leads us in praise. She leads us in worship. She leads us in song. It is just a lovely, lovely time. And, I'm very, very eager for her to be with us and to share this time with us, and for you to have an opportunity to benefit by the splendor of the gifts that God has entrusted to her and to her whole group, the Living Praise Worship Team. They together just do a magnificent job. So all of that being said, lots of good things happening, and I would like to hear from you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here. Phone line lighting up here. Oh my goodness, why don't you join him? Mike is calling in. We don't have him ready to go yet, but if you call us, we'll get you ready to go along with him. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Easy breezy. Take advantage of the opportunity. Let me know if you're a first-time caller, or if it's the first time that you're leaving a comment for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I'm going to ring-a-ding-ding my little happy bell here that announces to the world that you are a first-time caller. So please do give us a call. Looking forward to what is on your mind today. We'll talk about everything. I kind of threw a topic out to you, but when we come together, this is holy conversation, folks. And you know how holy conversation works, or any conversation. It can take twists and turns and go in varieties of directions and open up whole new vistas for us to think about, to meditate about, and to converse about. So give us a call, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Toll free for you in North America, available for you as well outside of North America. Country code 1-205-271-2985. Easy breezy. Mike with us from Philadelphia, PA, listening via the EWTN app. Hey, Mike, good morning to you.
I was really reluctant to call you today because I felt that I've talked to you before online. There had to be more people who wanted to address other issues. But I'm a big fan of both your ministry and also for Ministry of Renewal Ministries, Dr. Ralph Martin, who's also on EWTN. And Dr. Martin said something which didn't disturb me, but I felt it was really appropriate. And he said that if we're drawing near the end of time, we can't tell that this is it. Of course, from Scripture, Jesus says only the Father knows that. But he did say this would probably be a very good dress rehearsal for the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm chuckling with that because more of a nervous laughter than anything else. But it does seem to be that there are a lot of things that are coming together. One of the things in particular, besides the fact that the gospel is being preached all over the world now, these people who are coming into the church that are unexpected, like Dr. Peterson's wife, Russell Brand saying the rosary, I don't want to be name-dropping here, but there are a number of people that are doing it. Rob Schneider, for instance, and it seems to be growing and not kind of deceasing, but kind of moving forward. And I know you're very close to the Lord, and I know God uses you greatly, at least in my life. So I'd like to know, do you think we are approaching the end? Does it seem to be escalating in your estimation?
Don't feel like
you have to answer that because I'm trying to second guess God here. Okay.
I am happy to answer it. I'm looking forward to answering it with you, for you, and also to discuss it with everybody that's out there. And I have thoughts about all of this, and I'm eager to share them. And so stay with us, Mike, and I want to encourage you all to call too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. I want to talk with you today. I surely do. Matthew Gabensky answering the phones. Michael McCall out there doing our social media today. You can leave a question for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So what do you think? Are we in the end times? We're coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Always encouraging you to get out to our website at womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of good things for you there, including opportunities to listen to our radio broadcast, watch our television program that airs on EWTN television Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. We also have all kinds of good resources for you there. And it keeps you abreast of our retreats. I always like to call your attention, too, to our New Age blog. That New Age blog developed for us by Susan Brinkman on staff with us. She does all the research, and it's really, really a one-of-a-kind thing. As far as we know, there's nothing quite like it anywhere else in the world. So we invite you to make use of it as often as you want. Talking about a whole lot of things today, and I've got Mike with me here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, encouraging you to give us a call, 2-833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. So Mike's question basically is in reference to something that he heard Dr. Ralph Martin say. And Dr. Ralph Martin said that, he doesn't think that we're in the end times, but this is probably a good dress rehearsal for it. And one of the things that I can tell you, Mike, is that, the church in each one of us has a prophetic gift. We are baptized priest, prophet, and king. We as laity are not baptized into the ministerial priesthood. Our P is a small P, not a capital P. But nonetheless, we participate in these three very important roles, functions, and titles. So the prophetic gift is a gift that we all have. And basically, the prophetic gift is being able to look at the world and to see God's hand moving in it. it can incorporate into the nature of that gift the capacity to see things that will happen if certain conditions are not met. And we see the use of that gift a lot in the Old Testament. If this, then this. If not this, then not this. Or if this, then not this, you know, and vice versa. So the prophetic gift is a very real gift. Now, there are certain individuals throughout time, and we see this again from the Old Testament into the New and into modern day, where God takes that gift and really enunciates it, if you will, in the life of a person. In my personal estimation, I would say that we see that gift in Dr. Ralph Martin. You know, he has always been able to look at the circumstance of the world. When I say always, since I've become familiar with him, which is probably, I don't know, a really long time ago, going on 40 years ago, you know, he is able to assess a situation and help us to see it in light of the eternal realities. So, and the other thing that I would say with regard to him is that he is a very prudent man. You know, he doesn't speak for drama or hype, and he is careful with what it is that he says. To me, you know, there's much of that, and much of what he has said in the past, we have seen come to fruition because, you know, that was the natural consequence where it would lead, even though others said no, it wouldn't. So the fact of the matter is, you know, when he says, you know, this is probably a good dress rehearsal, I couldn't agree more with him. One, because of all that I've just said, but also two, because that's my sense. Now, here's the fact of the matter. When it comes to the end times, you know, are we in the end times? Well, you know, we have been in some phase of the end times since the passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we were to take that whole concept of end times, moving towards the end, there's kind of a, you know, a theological name for that. That's eschatology. It's of the end times. So, you know, eschatologically, we have been moving to the end times, you know, since the passion, death, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we might even say since the fall of man. And the plan of God accommodating, you know, all of the gift of salvation because of that fall of man. So we could even say we could take it back all that distance, right? And say, okay, so, you know, eschatologically, since original sin entered the world, we've been towards the end of time. We've been moving in that direction. But then we can take that whole thing, you know, and we can break it down into the remote, the proximate, and the immediate. And so, you know, the remote, you know, well, we see that only historically in the case of this, because, you know, nobody knew when, you know, when the end of time would come, right? Nobody quite knew it. And for us individually, our end of time can come today. We could die. And that's the end of time for us, just saying. So, you know, but, you know, we see it in the, we see it historically, you know, that okay, so, you know, the statement that the end times actually began with the fall of man and God's promise that he would send a savior, which we see in Genesis 3. 15, you know, that's when the end time, that's when the clock started to tick, so to speak. But we see that historically, we look back and say, well, gee, that was then, you know, and how many generations of people, how many millennia have passed since then? How many centuries, you know, have unfolded since then? So we say, wow, okay, so yeah, look, it's take, you know, here we are now, where are we? Okay. So then that would be the remote. The proximate, it has more to do with a category that's referred to in Scripture as the last days. You know, the last days are some part of the end time, just as that remote was part of the end time. But the last days, you know, we've advanced to a certain point in time. And here we are. We are in the last days. And the last days began with the passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are certainly in the last days. Okay, there's no question about that. Are we in the end times? Well, the fact of the matter is that certain conditions have to be fulfilled before we are in the end times. And so those conditions have not been fulfilled. I think that there are a lot, there are some of them that have been fulfilled, but not all of them. And there's a very good article that I'll refer you to that is out there at EWTN.com. You can look it up, in your search engine, and it'll take you directly there, or you can find it out there at EWTN.com in the library. It's the Second Coming of the Lord and the Last Judgment. So this is very helpful for us in understanding, what is about the end times. And there are conditions that have to be met. I'll just go through some of it with you, reading this article. Nations will wage war against each other. The church will endure persecution. Worse yet, the faith of many will grow cold and they will abandon the faith, even betraying and hating one another. St. Paul describes a mass apostasy before the second coming, which will be led by the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness, the adversary who exalts himself above every so-called God proposed for worship. This lawless one is part of the work of Satan, with the power, signs, wonders, and seductions that's going to bring ruin ruin to those who have turned away from truth. It says, however, that the Lord will destroy him with the breath of his mouth and annihilate him by manifesting his own presence. All the scriptural passages are in this article. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. There's also, I believe, an aspect of this where, the Jews will convert. So when we take all of this, we see aspects of this in our world. We would even be very quick to say, okay, yeah, but I can see who this man of perdition is. I can see this. I can see all that. Well, don't you think every generation has said that? I mean, let's go back to the Second World War. Let's go back to Hitler. Well, we could say Hitler was a type of the Antichrist, but we can't say that he was the Antichrist. Father Joseph Esper has written a book on that, talking about the various types of the adversary. What is a type? It's an archetype, something that precedes and gives reference to. He says that there's been many of them throughout the history of man. So we have to be very careful that we don't assign, those realities too quickly and say, okay, this is it. We're in the end times. No, we're not in the end times. The conditions have not been really met for Jesus to have come again. And when they are met, then we're in the end times. We are certainly somewhere in that eschatological development. We're definitely in the last days. We have seen and are fulfilling some of those signs that I just said. But some of those signs that I just said have been being fulfilled since the Enlightenment. Now, we're later now than we were then. So I tend to think that we are in the last era or the last, era of the last days. How long will that last? I really don't know. Look at how long the Old Testament lasted up until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Look at how long things have lasted since Jesus resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. So, we don't do well to try to estimate. We don't do well. Now, you mentioned, I'm giving you a really long answer, but it's a fascinating question. It's an excellent question. You mentioned, look at all of the people that are converting. Look at all of the people that are praying the rosary. Look at all of that. Isn't that a sign? What I think that sign is a sign of what St. Faustina tells us in her diary that Jesus told her, that there would be an era of mercy. That there would be an era of his divine mercy. The fact that hearts are changing, the fact that, the church, continues to evangelize, the fact that people are hearing that evangelization and coming into the church, the fact that people are praying the rosary, the fact that alongside of all of the misery of our condition that we see in secular media today, we're also seeing now, within the context of secular media, advertisements. For example, for Halo, that are drawing our attention. You actually see, the sign of the cross being made in those ads. So we're seeing positive signs. What is that? That's the sign of God's mercy. And the fact that, that's being broadcast in so many ways. Listen, EWTN is a sign of God's mercy because EWTN carries the message of our Lord Jesus Christ to the very ends of the earth, as you pointed out. But, you know, it is available, but not all of the ends of the earth have opportunity yet to take advantage of the availability. So all of that being said, I think that Ralph Martin states it well. He doesn't think we're in the end times, but he thinks this is a dress rehearsal. It is. God is calling our attention through the signs that we are seeing in the negative. He's pouring out his mercy in the signs that we see of the positive, and that gives us individually opportunity to get our act together. You know, to begin to take seriously the call of God in our lives, to begin that, if we haven't begun it already, that process of ongoing conversion, working with and cooperating with the grace for purification and sanctification, striving to develop, you know, a deeper union with the one who is all things, God, the opportunities that we have to enter into these various devotional practices of the church, not just to do them, but to enter into them and to let them enter into us through intentionality of heart, receptivity, of soul. So, yeah, we're here somewhere. The worst thing that we can do, is to allow ourselves to become frantic, to pay far more attention to all of that than we pay attention to our own relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, lived out in union with Him and through our fellow man. The worst thing that we can do is to become preoccupied by these things. I'm not saying you're doing that, Mike, but there are those who do. That is the worst thing that we can do, because this is what the evil one rejoices in. I will play on their fear. I will play on their morbid curiosity. I will play on their emotions in general and keep them so busy about this stuff, so anxiety filled, that they are not able to recollect themselves for prayer. They do not have the time to include other activities, other devotional practices, taking time for holy reading. And when they do read, they're going to read all about this stuff. That is a ploy of the devil. Jesus tells us, be not afraid. He will never abandon us. And as I said earlier, today could be our last day. It could be our end time. So we ought never, ever, ever to allow ourselves to become so worried about something that may happen millennia from now that we forget that we are dust, and unto dust we will return. And so we take our eyes off of the ball that God's handed to us to be able to be perfected by Him before our last day comes. So that's what I think. Thank you, Mike. I really do appreciate it.
Pretty good there, sister. Thank you so much, Darnette. I said you think pretty well there, because you gave a very detailed answer. I don't think you left anything unturned there. It was really very encouraging to hear what you had to say. Oh,
well,
gosh,
you.
Darnette. The only thing else I wanted to add was, it seems in this particular time, and I think you mentioned it before, that the words of the saints have great meaning. Mm-hmm. We don't have as much coming from the pulpit in some particular parishes that we would like to talk about boldness, holy boldness, to talk about perseverance. And it seems like the saints are there for us just to really build us up and to kind of call us together as one kind of fighting army, if you will, of prayer. And
you know,
talk about the words of the saints so often. And you touched upon it the other day. You said something about this ministry. One of the reasons God has chosen this ministry is because, and I don't want to misquote you here, because people aren't getting some of this stuff that they should be getting.
That's right.
And He's using, now again, I'm paraphrasing you, forgive me if I'm misquoting you, but He's using this ministry and ministries like it to educate the masses who really need to hear these things.
That's right.
So thank you so much for your answer. It was really beautiful. Thank you so much, Diane.
Oh, you're so, so very, very welcome, Mike. I really do appreciate it. And yes, the saints, you know, our older brothers and sisters in the faith can give us great guidance on how it is that we can grow in union with God. And I do truly believe, you know, see, this God knows all things. Like, you know, we talk about that reality. You know, he knows all things. He knew this time. He knew that there would be those who would not present to the people, you know, some of the very topics that you're mentioning. So what does he do? This God of ours always makes up for the lack. You know, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. The sufficiency of God is infinitude. He's always making up the lack. And one of the ways that he makes up the lack, obviously, is through, you know, this great opportunity that we have to use the airwaves for the honor and glory of God. But in addition to that, he makes up for the lack, you know, in the internet. You know, he makes up for the lack in that, you know, things, information, good information is as immediate to our fingertips as is bad information. And so we all have the opportunity to dig more deeply into our faith. We can't, and you're not doing this, Mike, I know it, but some people do. You know, they'll say, well, Father should be talking about this. If it was really important, Father would be talking. Well, you know, Father is doing what he's called to do to the best of the knowledge by which he's had. He cannot meet each of our individual needs. That's an impossibility. But I believe that if we go with a receptive and trusting heart and we sit there with an attitude of intentionality, meaning that I know God intentions for me to be at this Mass today, and I know that whatever homily Father delivers is a homily that I'm supposed to hear, and there's a grace in it for me, a blessing in it for me, and I am going to be all about the business of sitting here, hearing the Word of God proclaimed, listening to that Word of God that's being proclaimed, and then being open to what the homily, you know, is that's delivered, you know, the priest that what the priest has to say is what I'm trying to say. I'm going to be open to what Father has to say today, knowing that there's a grace in there for me, knowing that there's a grace. That changes the way in which we look at that. But he's not going to hit on every topic. And you're right. You know, I just wish that more of our priests had a deeper love of you know, the saints and our ladies and our Blessed Lady, and would talk with us about that. But we have advantages. And God said, oh, well, here's what I'm going to do. And it's also a sign of his mercy. I'm going to flood them with opportunities. Yeah, they're going to hear Father's homily on a topic they need to hear about. But hey, I'm going to flood them with opportunity over here to learn even more. So we have that responsibility, to continue to grow in the faith each and every day. And we should greet each and every day with an openness of heart that says, I'm going to meet God today. I'm going to see him. He's going to speak to me. And be looking for that. You know, what a change that would make. We would be joyful people all of the time. We would be, because we would see God in everything, and he is in everything. And when I say that, I don't mean everything is God, so please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So anyway, Mike, thank you very much. I want to try to get to Anne really quickly in these last couple of moments. You're always welcome to call, Mike. Anne is a first-time caller from Kansas City, Kansas, with us via Catholic Radio Network. How are you, Anne?
I'm fine. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure. I'm not very well-spoken or well-educated. I have a brother who asked me one time, he was an alcoholic and he smoked pot, and I do too. I drink, but I mean, I've never become an alcoholic. I don't have that disease. I'm 62 now. I've had 7 kids. They're all grown. I've smoked pot my whole life. Anyway, I have an adoration hour. You know, I had a good Lent and everything. My question to you is, and my brother asked me this, and he said, do you think God hears our prayers when we've been drinking? And of course, you know, I said, of course he does, Jimmy, you know, it comes from the heart. And so now here I am. He died in 2004. So here I am. And, you know, I just wonder, when I smoke pot, I'm a little bit more well-spoken in private with our Lord. And so, I have a brother coming over.
I'm so sorry, sweetheart, to interrupt you, but we're down to like a little less than 90 seconds. And I would love to answer this for you, and I would like to invite you to give me a call back on another day when I can get into more detail with you, because I think this is a beautiful question. So, you know, does God hear our prayers when we're smoking pot or when we're drinking? God always hears our prayers. There's no question about that. He's always with us and he's always noticing us. Our capacity to respond, though, in the way in which God would like to answer our prayer, our capacity to truly hear him clearly is compromised by the alcohol and by the pot. Is it wrong to have an occasional drink? Is it wrong to have a glass of wine, for example, every day? No, I don't think that that's wrong. But I think that when we drink to excess, we diminish our capacity, and in some way we hurt and compromise our capacity to be in union with God. A pot, of course, alters our perception. God is not going to come to us, you know, through those means. So I would encourage you to consider that with regard to your own prayer life. Well, it's been great being with you, friends. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.